All right, back here on OMF, the final hour of today's program. 30 minutes, we go commercial free. We'll talk with Christian Yelich in just a couple of minutes. And then
a real live baseball player. Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
Find out what he's doing, how he's holding up through all of this, because he should be actually working right now, but they're not working.
I'm curious to know what the league is telling him. Like, what is the league telling them? Are they giving them?
Nothing.
You think they're not, Major League Baseball isn't talk to these guys at all?
Well, they might, but I don't think anybody knows what's going on, because week by week, everything just changes. By the way, this hour being brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. We want to make sure we do our job. But no, I mean, I don't know what you tell any of these professional athletes, and I see every once in a while, I see guys on there. Jason Tatum was on TV, was it yesterday, on ESPN, and they're saying the same thing to him. Well, what are you hearing? I'm not hearing anything. I don't know.
I think just goes to show you that they're not close, right? They're not hearing anything. Like, there's a lot of talk back and forth with the people that are making the decisions, and when the players, when we get to the point when we are weeks, you know, a week, 2 weeks away, it's okay, this is start preparing for this, start preparing for that. But I think the more the athletes don't hear, you're not weeks away. You're a good couple of months.
But if you watch the task force every single night, Lou, I think you can get a read on the fact that we're nowhere close to having sports. We're not there yet. Now, that may all change 2-3 weeks from now. We were talking about the numbers in the last hour, and some of those numbers of people that are being hospitalized are starting to drop in some of the hot areas. But until we see a lot of this changing and where people now are not as fearful, we're not going to see any change in sports. I hate to bring up the optics again with optics, man, but you can't really do it. But is it possible that 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, everybody's looking at it saying, you know what? The numbers are subsiding. People are, you know, we're getting through this right now. Maybe we can start pushing the idea of having sports. That's why I think when you talked about it earlier about baseball and this idea that baseball has of isolating the players in Arizona, it's going to be hot there during the summertime, but doing it starting in May may be a little bit aggressive. But if you're talking maybe June, maybe July, maybe going to camp for 2-3 weeks and then starting after where the All-Star break would have been, eliminating the All-Star break, is that possible in Arizona?
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, as far as the numbers, actually just saw the numbers. They just posted them for April 7th. I don't think they're good. So yesterday's numbers were 1,337 new cases, 29 new deaths. Today, 1,365 new cases, 96 new deaths. Big spike up from 29, from the 33, from the 32. We had 24 one day.
That's in Massachusetts.
96 right. In Massachusetts,
right,
for 356 total deaths now in Massachusetts.
And so we're behind New York. So our apex is going to be behind New York based on the first case. So if you look at South Korea, you look at Italy, now you look at Spain, you look at New York, and then I think they expected our numbers to be bad for this week. It's next week, I think, we're supposed to go in the other direction. But no, those are not good numbers.
It's a big jump in deaths.
Yeah.
356 now, but 96 one day.
And reported. In New York, as I mentioned, the hospitalizations are dropping. And so that is a good sign for them. But Major League Baseball is having this conversation right now. They're throwing the possibility that we may be able to play baseball this summer. And they're coming up with whatever way in Arizona. And they do it as a group. We have all 30 teams out there, and they play in all these different fields. So we wanted to talk to a baseball player about this and about the possibility of doing it. And we found a pretty good one in Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers, outfielder, and, of course, the MVP in 2018. Christian, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing the best we can. I mean, you bored yet?
Oh, yeah. It's been bored for a few weeks, but like you said, we're doing the best we can and, just trying to stay inside, hopefully end this thing as quick as possible.
So you've heard about this. Go ahead, Christian.
No, so you're out in California, right?
Yeah.
So is it how bad is it in California? Because I see you, you know, you're playing catch out in the streets. You're acting like you're a 10-year-old kid. You know, I mean, are people shaming you when they see you outside playing catch?
Wow.
No, I mean, it's been all good. I'm just playing catch with my brother, so we're all together anyway. So it's not like we're, you know, causing trouble or anything like that. It actually seems to be okay out here, but it's hard to say just because we've been inside the whole time. Obviously, California's had the stay-at-home order for quite some time now, and it seems to be like it's getting a little better. But you know, I've tried not to pay too much attention to the news or everything that's going on. Like you said, it's been pretty wild times.
All right, we're talking to Christian Yelich. Christian, I'm curious, what is the communication you're having right now? You know, whether it be with teammates or leagues, or what are you hearing as far as how your league is handling this or going to handle it?
Just a lot of the same stuff that everybody's heard. You know, I think nobody really knows a start date or when that would even be a possibility. So that's the most challenging thing. It's like, it's hard to plan for when we're going to start when you don't know when we're going to start. And then that impacts schedule. And there's a lot of options, and it all just depends on when we're able to start and really if we're able to start. But so, I think from the player's point of view, we all want to play obviously, but we want to make sure that it's safe and that it's the right time to do it.
So what do you think about the plan of all the teams move out for 4.5 months to Arizona? You play in one place where there's air conditioning, but all of the other fields are minor league fields. It gets a little warm, as you know, in Arizona in the summertime. A little hot, it's dry heat. And you're all going to operate out of hotels out there. And you're going to have to go back and forth, let's say, with bus transportation. You're not really going to connect with the rest of the world. You're going out there for 4.5 months to play baseball before zero fans.
Yeah, I saw that last night. It was the first, I think late last night, it was the first time I'd actually heard of that plan. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of guys and guys have been talking about it today, obviously. I think there's a lot of challenges to that plan. I don't think that's the one that they for sure, like, this is what we're going with. I could be wrong in that. I probably have to look into it a little bit more, but I think it'd be definitely challenging. Now, maybe that's something that we have to do just because of the times we're in, and if that's our only option to play, then maybe it's our only option to play. But I think there's definitely a lot of hurdles and challenges that still have to be thought through. I mean, like you said, keeping guys quarantined for 4.5 months away from their families and all that. I mean, I'm a single guy, so it's less of a problem for me, but there's other guys that have wives and kids and everything like that, so I don't know if they're not going to want to be with them for 4.5 months. The challenges of keeping everybody in the same spot, you know, just how it's going to work logistically with the fields and how you're going to do it, what happens if somebody gets the virus. There's a lot of things you have to work through, the availability of tests. And I know some of that was mentioned. I think it was Hassan's article last night, maybe. I think some of that was mentioned in there. It depends on the availability of tests. You know, our guys are going to be willing to do it. Like you said, it's hot. It's minor league facility. I thought that they were going to have us be sitting in the stands like 6 feet apart from each other, kind of in like solo timeout. So that'd be kind of interesting. I mean, you know, there's advantage to playing for sure. You know, you provide a distraction in a challenging time, but I think there's obviously some hurdles that have to be, you know, crossed before we kind of get farther down that road.
So Christian, since they, postponed spring training, you haven't heard from your team at all? I mean, they've given you no communication whatsoever?
Nothing formal. There's been some informal talks or guys just floating ideas or talking through it and just seeing if we're going to play at all, or not going to play, when you think we're going to start, just stuff like that. But there's nothing that's come down from the team, MLB, the union, or anything that says, hey, this is when we're going to start, this is what we're looking to do. It's just all a lot of contingency stuff and kind of just waiting to see what happens with the federal guidelines and the individual state guidelines and everything with the CDC to kind of see what's going to be a possibility and what's not. And guys, like, I think it came out probably a couple of weeks ago, you know, how guys were going to be compensated, what they're going to do with service time in the event that there's no season. So, I mean, there's a very real chance that we don't play as much as there is that we do play. You know, I think it's probably 50-50.
All right, we're talking to 2018 National League MVP and Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich. Christian, one thing I'm curious on what your thoughts are, because a lot of people say when they do come back, it's an opportunity for baseball to kind of maybe make some changes and see how that goes over. I thought Joe Maddon was talking about different things, but, you know, overtime rules, extra innings rather, 10th inning, put a guy at second, electric umpires, just all these different changes. I still want a pitch clock. I think the pitchers, they're killing me. But how would you feel about some of the changes in the game of baseball? Trying to maybe take an opportunity to try them.
Yeah, well, if there's ever going to be a year or a time to try new things and get creative, it's this year. It's obviously going to be, regardless of if we play or not, like if we do end up playing, it's going to be a new year regardless of when we start. It's just the reality of it. So why not try things and see if they work, see if they don't, see if it generates interest, see if people like it. I think it can't hurt. And like you said, it's if you're going to do something new, there's no better time than right now.
Is there anything particularly you would do? Are you a pitch clock guy? Are you at double headers? Like, what kind of interests you as a player?
Well, for this year, I think it'd be cool. We'd have to probably explore the double header component just to see how many games we can get in. And that probably depends on a start day. I'm for doing something for extra innings because it's already going to be a condensed schedule. So if we do end up playing, then you probably have to find a way to have a tiebreaker or to limit extra innings as much as possible, just because the workload on guys is already going to be so high and probably going to be less off days. There's going to be a lot more games and a more condensed period. So you don't really want to get into those 15, 16, 17 inning games in this kind of year. It's a time to try things, whether that be putting a guy in second or a home run derby as a tiebreaker or whatever you come up with. I'd like to see something like that if we end up going and playing a really condensed schedule with a lot of games.
Hey, how much time do you think you would need to get ready? Okay, so they haven't given you any indication of when they're going to start up. It's just a lot. You're basically finding out stuff just like we are, reading articles online or watching TV. So let's say they say, okay, listen, we're going to start on this date. How much time do you need to get ready to play a regular season real game, not a spring training game? How much time do you need to get ready?
I probably think 2 to 3 weeks of spring training. You guys have tried to stay in shape, and we're not too far removed from a spring. I think the biggest thing would be for pitchers, just having them build up. A position player, guys, 2-3 weeks would be plenty. I'm not so sure about the pitching side. We probably need expanded rosters and all that for a little while to make sure that guys don't get hurt, don't blow out, and just the quick ramp up. You know, it's something that nobody has done before, and obviously you want to get back to playing as soon as possible once you get the go ahead. But I think 2 to 3 weeks would probably be sufficient, and we give guys enough time to get themselves where they need to be.
So is it true that one of the toughest things about being away from the game is actually losing time with Brock Holt?
I FaceTimed with Brock the other day, and I was texting him this morning. Actually, he's actually a really good guy, and I knew him a little bit before we were teammates, and we really got along then, and being teammates with him is awesome.
He's a good
I know you guys are like him. With him over there in Boston, but we're glad to have him, and we're definitely looking forward to playing together at some point this year.
You're going to like him, and he was a great guy here when it came to charity and the Jimmy Fund that we're all involved in. We're talking with Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers. So everything has changed in our lives when you think about it, Christian. In a matter of 3 or 4 weeks, we have the great unknown. You were just talking about, you've talked to people, but nobody knows anything. And going forward, they're talking about how life is going to change forever. So when you think about it as a professional baseball player, the contact that you have with other players, you were just talking about one of the plans is to put you up in the stands, not in the dugout, so that you don't have direct contact with your players. But you hit a home run. Everybody's high-fiving. You're hugging people. A game-winning home run at the end, a game-winning hit, and everybody's hugging each other at home plate. You sign autographs, and you're coming in contact with fans. How much do you, as you look at this, that say to yourself, everything is going to change in your life, in all of our lives?
Yeah, I think life will get back to normal at some point. Maybe in the immediate future, it's going to be a little different until we get a handle on this thing. But
we get a vaccine. You're right.
Yeah. When you look back in history, there's been pandemics before, and life's returned to normal. But it's definitely going to take some time, and you might have to alter your lifestyle and what you do on a daily basis for a minute until, like you said, there's a vaccine or a really good way to handle something like this, because obviously we've seen the kind of impact it can have. But you know, we're all kind of, like you said earlier, we're figuring it out together and taking it day by day, and when new info becomes available, then we're taking it in. And I think that's probably just the best way to go about it.
Yeah, so here's the other thing. So we're all trying to figure out, you know, how, you know, if the season is postponed, it starts late, maybe it could go into end of October, late October, or even into, late November. So what are your thoughts, like, of playing playoff games or even a World Series at a neutral site, warm weather city, or in some area where there's a dome, right? Well, how would you feel about that?
I think we're all kind of open to whatever's going to let us play, right? Like if we got to do that, then we've got to do that.
So it's not a big deal, right?
No, I mean, it's not. It won't be that big of a deal. I think it's something that if you want to play, and those are the terms that you have to play under for a year, then so be it. And it's everybody's kind of working together. MLB, the players, everybody would like something to happen, and they just want to make sure that it's a viable option. And it's already been a really unique year, and no matter what kind of season we end up playing, it's going to be a unique season, and there's going to be things that have never happened before that end up happening. And I think you just got to be open-minded to it and do the best you can.
So we're talking to Christian Yelich here. Christian, I'm curious your opinion, because we saw sort of things got put on hold. There is a little investigation going on here in Boston with the Red Sox. We saw the reaction, and I felt rightfully so, from the Houston Astros. Are you sort of waiting to find out what the league tells you about what the Red Sox did? Do you expect a similar reaction in that finding?
Honestly, I forgot about it, if we're going to be completely honest. It's kind of been a lot of stuff that's gone down, but who knows when that's going to come out.
Right.
Happened with Houston and all the all that aftermath and fallout from that, but we'll see. Like I said, there's a lot going on right now. I don't know when the commissioner's going to end up getting around to that. He's probably trying to figure out when he's going to put a season on, but time will tell. Just as a player, I've heard things that were, you know, whether they're what was actually happening or what wasn't from guys around the league. And I don't know if I anticipate similar. I just really just don't know, and I don't want to speculate on something that I don't know, but I think it'll end up coming out eventually from these guys.
Well, that's pretty interesting, though, that you mentioned that you forgot about it, and I think we all did, and yet I don't think I've ever seen other players more pissed off at fellow athletes in their same sport than guys were when they found out what the Astros were doing.
It was something that was unique. I've only been on two teams, but we've never participated on anything like that or even went down that road. And those guys made that choice. And when you make a choice like that, then you have to be willing to live with the consequences. And in this situation, the consequences were pretty heavy. And I'm sure, Chris, you can speak on this, but as an athlete, as a player, the people whose opinion that you care about the most are your peers, your teammates, people that you compete against. And, I think guys felt slighted in that. You kind of saw the fall and the reactions throughout the league during our brief spring training.
Yeah, I got a random question. You're a pretty mellow guy. You know, I don't think you've ever rushed the mound or anything like that. Have you ever gotten like a brawl? Because I'm curious, like, if you ever rushed the mound, one, and two, have you ever been so pissed off at a pitcher that you told one of your pitchers to hit one of their guys? Does that happen? Has it happened?
And names, please.
Yeah. I've never charged the mound, but there's definitely that unwritten rule in baseball where like everyone likes to talk about the unwritten rules and where things are handled. And I don't want to say one way or the other, but baseball has a way of taking care of itself if it needs to be taken care of. Yeah, I've never been a guy to charge a mound. I am definitely a laid back person, but I'm a
wait. Have you ever practiced that? Like, let's say you do, because I feel like you would have to practice that. No, I'm not
charging
even kidding.
The mound?
I'm not even kidding. Like hockey guys in hockey, they fight. Okay, and it's not like their first fight, so they practice and they box. So I would assume if I am rushing the mound, would you be one of the guys that sprints and doesn't stop, or would you sprint and then stop all of a sudden?
Well, the thing about charging the mound is it's over quick, right? I mean, you've got about 5 seconds before you're at the bottom of a mass of humanity. So I think each guy gets probably one swing in, and then it's over for them. And then you've got the fallout fights that are sprinkled on throughout the thing, depending on how much bad blood there is and what actually led up to the fight. But you don't practice it. I think it's just one of those things that happens and you black out and you're gone. I can't say because I've never done it, but
use your helmet. I mean,
bring the bat with
throw
you.
It at him.
Yeah, so, the bat. Yeah. If you take the bat with you, you got a huge advantage.
Well, that's an unwritten rule, though. You can't bring the bat.
You get about a year timeout probably from that too. So probably got to leave the bat behind.
We've been telling our guy Lou here for years he should write a book on the unwritten rules of baseball. I got one more question on the Astros situation, because the thing I can't figure out, when we found out that they were actually hitting the side of trash cans and that was signaling exactly what was being thrown, did you ever have conversations with guys saying, why is it every time we play in Houston, you can hear the side of the trash can? There's somebody in the stands. What is somebody doing?
We never did because I was in the National League. They're obviously in the American League. So I don't think we played them that year in Houston. I think they came to us in Miami, but
did any player ever talk about it?
I was never familiar with it until this whole thing came out, but I wasn't in the same league as them, and we didn't play them obviously in the playoffs, or we never went to Houston or anything like that. So I wasn't as exposed to it, or I didn't know that this whole thing was even going on, or there was suspicion throughout the league about them leading up, just probably because we just didn't play them, so it never really came across our radar.
It's just so hard to believe that other players didn't talk to other players and talk about, you should hear it, what happens when you go to Houston, you hear this trash can, you know? You used to have the old guy in the Tom Toms used to play it out in Cleveland, and you'd hear that noise, you know? It's crazy, you'd hear it. Christian, thank you very much. We really appreciate you spending some time with us here in Boston. Stay safe out there in California, and hopefully you'll get back to playing baseball here soon enough.
Thanks, guys. You guys as well.
All right. See you, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
See you later. That is Christian Yelich on the Harbor One.
See, we got a player.
We got a good player.
And actually
Cali boy. Good job, Christian.
Said something that I think we talked about a while ago when it came to this whole, you know, the Astros situation, because in the beginning of spring training, there was going to be some retaliation that you could just feel it. The best thing to happen to the Astros, I mean, listen, not to be dismissive of how bad things are,
but is
the coronavirus.
Because, right. Exactly.
Listen, you listen to him. He doesn't even care. He forgot all about it.
Yeah.
There's too many other issues. Like, what's more important is how they play. There's not going to be any retaliation.
He forgot all about the Red Sox investigation. Now, all I'm saying is that I think when they kind of come back to baseball and everyone's going to be just excited to be back, and it's going to feel like a real team mentality, and we're all in this together, and the very first pitch, it goes and hits Springer in the ribs. I don't think people are going to forget about that. I really don't. And I think it's one thing, you know, we'll see when the whole thing comes up, but he forgot the Red Sox investigation was going on. I don't think the people in the, maybe not the Milwaukee Brewers, but people in the AL West,
yeah,
or the Yankees, or whatever, they're not going to forget that.
Right.
I think. See, we talk about optics and what it looks like. That to me, it would be a terrible look. You miss half your season in the first thing.
Optics man.
And the first
optics man.
Back again. Optics man. Optics man would tell the optics man. Optics man. Let me finish. Would say
I'm not saying anything.
This is a bad look.
Yeah, that's good.
You lost half your season, and the first thing that you think about is paying back Springer, Altuve. Why? Yes. You're finally playing baseball again, and they're going to kick your ass out for another 10 games, which
it
is really 40.
Doesn't change the fact of what happened in 2017.
You and your stupid unwritten rules. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Just write
like
a book already.
Side of the street. I will say this, though, getting to your theme of optics, and I'm glad you brought it up. What the hell is Major League Baseball thinking about? And contrary to what the Red Sox are telling people, they don't think they're going to get slapped with anything heavy. Lou, they have to be getting something that's pretty severe. Because why wouldn't Major League Baseball reveal it right now? This is a perfect time to hide it. I still don't understand as the days go by, and it was 2.5 weeks ago now that the commissioner said, oh, yeah, we just have to basically, it's all done. We just have to type it and put it together. 2.5 weeks later, they still haven't disclosed it?
They're screwed. The only thing I can keep coming back to is the fact they're waiting for something to happen in the world to talk about in sports other than their report that they're about to release.
We got a pandemic going on. What more can happen
nothing,
in the world?
Great, whatever. I mean, how often do we talk pandemic on the show? Is it half? The other half would be about this investigation. Is it less? So it's like you give people one story in the media to talk about, people are going to talk about it more than probably they should.
Nah.
And that's why I felt like they were waiting for the beginning of the season. That was before this whole coronavirus thing.
Okay, so you were telling
now that there's
us...
There's no sports? Yeah. Oh, they'll wait till the season starts.
So you were telling us that internally, the Red Sox that you talked to, people within the organization, felt pretty confident that they were not going to get an awful lot out of this. Do you feel the same way now, based on the way that the league is just holding it back?
Well, it wasn't how I felt. It's how they felt.
That's what I mean.
So, I don't think that they know. I think the league is going to get them with something, and I think the Red Sox are going to turn around and look at them and be like, really? What, did you do this just because you felt like you had to? What, is this all about the Apple Watch? Are you really considering, are you trying to put this in the same category as what Houston did? And I think there'll be a lot of, like, again, I think that the league will find them guilty because of what happened. Apple Watch back with the Yankees a few years back. You know, stuff's coming back on top of my desk here 2 years later. We had the Houston Astros situation. We're trying to clean this thing up. We got you for this. And I think the baseball world, you should go off what the baseball world's reaction will be when the Red Sox kind of get their penalty. Because I don't think they're going to be close to what the Houston Astros got as far as the talk around the league. Because most people sit there and say, yeah, well that's illegal? Oh, okay. Well, what did they do that was illegal?
It's not an Apple Watch.
So I think they're going to see a little bit of that. We'll see.
Well, the trash cans was so over the top, and I'm still amazed. That's why I had to ask the question. I don't understand how Major League Baseball players playing games in Houston, he obviously didn't play that year in Houston, but how guys didn't talk around the league saying, hey, do you notice you hear noise all the time?
Well, he did kind of say that he, at the end there, he did kind of say that he had heard some things and talked to some people, but that he didn't really want to get into, I guess, you know, throwing people's dirty laundry out in the street. I do think that it was mainstream. I think most everybody that I talked to, they all knew about it in some, you know, shape or fashion. All of them did, you know. But if you didn't play them on a regular basis, you know, I know the Dodgers did. I know the Dodgers knew all about it.
I saw Shaughnessy pulled a Gasper, and he pulled up something we were talking about weeks ago, and that was the possibility that Alex Cora could end up coming back and managing the Boston Red Sox. So Ron Renicki could be the manager and then never even manage again. Well, let's say we don't play baseball this year. This investigation report finally comes out. They slap Cora with a one-year suspension. They would have to do the same thing they're doing with Hinch and Lou now in Houston. So it would be the 2020 season. And he would be eligible to come back next year in the 2021 season.
See, to me, I have the same response that I had 4 months ago. I mean, and nothing has really changed. Because nothing has. The report's not out. Nothing has changed. So it's like 3 or 4 months ago, when people, or 2 or 3 months ago, whenever it was, when this report came out, is there a chance Alex would come back? It's like, sure, but a lot has to happen from now until then. And nothing has yet. So there's still a lot has to happen. A report has to come out. We need to know what it says. We need to hear from the league. We need to hear from Alex Cora. We need to hear from Red Sox ownership. We need to see the reaction of the public, how the Major League Baseball responds to it, what this team, how they respond
to it. It's
called
optics.
There's so much that needs to be done before you can talk about Cora being the manager, and there isn't one single thing that's happened yet.
Well, we're still waiting
for that investigation comes out.
Stupid investigation report to come out. But if he gets a 1-year suspension, and the 1 year happens to be 2020, he's eligible to be a manager in 2021. If you're the Red Sox and you loved him to begin with, are you going to let him go to another team?
Well, I think they left the door open for him. Even during their press conference, there was, what was their one line they kept using all over again? You know, reserve judgment. Let's reserve judgment. I think one of the biggest mysteries for me is just the Major League Baseball, like, for some curious reason, does not want to release it, even though they've admitted that the investigation is done. Because all they need to do is copy, download, paste, and then send it out to everybody, and then you have it, and then you be done. Because you can still, I don't like the excuse that, we're focused on other things. You can't press send? You can't get a bulk email and send it out?
Yeah, but I think that reserving judgment was that they did not think at the time that the Major League Baseball was coming down hard on them. And I think that's what you were referring to, Lou, when you just said you feel the same way 4 months ago. So it depends on what that report says. So if the report says that Alex was doing it all over again, just like he was doing it in Houston, and he was really cheating, then it becomes very difficult to go back on that reserve judgment.
Yeah, everyone reserve judgment.
Yeah, let's go back to Sunday night, kind of Monday. Monday, the report came out in the Houston Astros. Like I said, Sunday night, some people thought everything's going to be fine, nothing's going to come of it. And you thought, if I said before that report came out, I would say, what do you think, AJ? What do you think, AJ Hinch? Think he had a role in it, or Alex Cora. Then when that report came out, and in just nine pages, you're sitting there going, holy smokes. It really changed the way you looked at it. So to sit there and say how I think it's going to play out before I can see this report and what it says, I don't think you can do that. Because it could be scathing, or it could be nothing, right? Of course, if it's nothing, there'll still be people that won't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be nothing based on the timing. And if it was nothing and Major League Baseball was looking to bury it, it's very simple. You throw it out in the last couple of weeks. And the fact that the commissioner keeps on delaying it and delaying it and he's making excuses. And that tells me that it's got to be something pretty big.
I frankly have not had time to turn to it with the other issues.
Understood.
But we will get a Boston report out. Before we resume play.
Okay. Well, we may not resume play until 2021. All right, 617-779-7937. That's our phone number. Good job today, Christian. You went and got a big-time Major League Baseball player. See? We can get these
guests
on.
You're up next. Right, your turn.
There you go. We're back with more right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Bring it back.
Will you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I've been told Labor Day weekend that they would like to have a champion crowned by Labor Day weekend, which is obviously the first weekend in September. That takes you right to the edge of what would be the start of football season. Now, does that mean if they create a scenario where they think they could have a game 6 or game 7 of an NBA final on September 7th or 8th or 9th, that they wouldn't do it? No. But ideally, the date they've kind of circled is Labor Day weekend to have this finished. And of course, that's still almost likely, or I think almost certain, if you push it that far, that you are delaying the start of next season.
Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Adam Silver did come out today and said that they're not going to make any decisions until at least May. I will say this, if you talk about optics again, Adam Silver is the one guy that will put that finger up in the air and see where the wind's blowing on every single one of these issues. They will absolutely go in line with where the public is going. And that may make it very difficult for the NBA to come back and play.
Well, see, here's I don't know if you guys saw this. And this is from SI. The NBA and NBA Players Association are examining multiple blood testing devices for COVID-19, according to ESPN's Baxter Holmes. It said, the NBA and NBAPA have been collaborating in assessing the viability of multiple blood testing devices that could provide accurate results within a matter of minutes. The league and players union have been looking at what those familiar with the matter describes as a diabetes-like blood testing system. So you could find out within 15 minutes. Now, we all know that the rapid testing is viewed as a critical hurdle. So if you're going to return from this coronavirus suspension, you know, you need to have some sort of testing, and it can't be, hey, I'll find out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you know, right? the testing,
they're all doing
is,
that, though. The entire country is going to do that.
Yeah, but the testing is,
I know, but they're going to have it quicker
for people to understand they have it so they can quarantine themselves. But when it comes to bringing back sports, and it's like the NBA, it's like, oh, well, we got this testing, okay, and we'll know within 15 minutes. So what, you can do it before games? Because great, we got the testing, but God forbid if one guy's positive, we're shut down again. You know what I mean? We've realized that guys are positive, but we're shutting it down. So it's not like, oh, if we have great, better testing, we can run a league.
Yeah, I saw the story,
and
I
shut it down quicker.
I felt the same thing because I've heard the task force talk about this test every single night here, and they've been talking about how once we get up to that speed of being able to do it, as Christian said, in 15 minutes, it's going to give us a better idea of where we are, and it's going to be better in trying to figure out these statistics. So I don't see how that changes anything with the NBA. I mean, you either test positive or you don't. And right now, you're right. You've got to wait 2 weeks so they can't do that. But I think by the time we get into May, unless the government is totally wrong on this one, we should be, this testing should be up there and active.
Well, but I do think that it is, I mean, listen, it just shows me that they're trying to figure out a way how to fast track this. So if you, because it would alleviate a lot of their issues. I mean, it would alleviate a lot of issues even for Major League Baseball if you're going to sit there and do the whole biosphere thing, biodome, whatever you call it, and sit there and quarantine, sequester people for a certain amount of time. And I'm thinking it's probably more like a month, not 4 months. And if you can test them, like if your diabetes test, you just kind of prick your finger, a little blood comes out, you stick it on your One Touch machine,
yeah,
and you get a reading automatically.
You find out you're positive. And then
okay, so then at least you don't walk around for the next 2 days.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if you are just putting everybody in a bubble, why test?
Another layer of security. I guess it would be.
But everybody's in a bubble, and it's like, okay, if you come down with symptoms, we gotta shut the league down anyway.
So that's a good point. So when do we get to the point?
Why are you bothering testing?
Because you're right. If you put all of these people together, if you do it in baseball, and you have all of these other people that are working in the hotel or working in transportation, the bus drivers, all these other people involved, then you're going to have people test positive. When do we get to the point where if somebody tests positive, we look at it, especially with well-trained athletes, and sit there and say, okay, we got to deal with it, but it doesn't necessarily mean we shut everything down.
Is it a 14-day DL?
Right. Yeah. That's why they want to have such a so many guys. But it's interesting, the NBA, like all of these other leagues, if the NBA loses a season, for them this is a killer because they lose the most profitable part of the season, where the players aren't paid, where the league gets all of the money from the TV revenue, tickets are at a premium for playoff games. That's what they end up losing. And as I said yesterday, then they start all over again in October with games in which people say, oh, yeah, okay, it's the NBA early season. You know?
Load management, back to load management again.
Yeah, right. And, you know, you'll hear it from people like LeBron. I'll guarantee you, you'll hear it.
Well,
from
LeBron. I do think one of the biggest issues with, I mean, because you could have the best plan of action, you could have it all. You could be willing to spend the money, you can be willing to pay the sacrifice of being away from your family. You could be willing to be disciplined and just be really strict with the protocol. The biggest issue, in my opinion, is somebody is just going to sit there and wait to sue you. They're going to I just think the fear of litigation is going to be too much of a cost. I just think it's going to be too much of a cost. Like, why risk it? Mm-hmm. You know, so how do you have people sign off on it? I mean, the fear, you got people who are purposely trying to be a bus driver or a food server or, you know, whatever you want.
Just anything. I mean, you could say, but the athletes are fine tuned. Okay, what about an umpire? What about a coach?
No. Who are completely out of shape.
An umpire gets sick.
No.
He might have some kind of, you know, that's the other issue too, that the pre-existing. Well, guess what? People don't really, some of them aren't even aware of some pre-existing conditions that
they
might have.
Well, they're not going to reveal it to you. They don't want you to know.
So all of a sudden they're working. Next thing you know, let's just say an umpire or a coach passes away. What does that family do? They go back to Major League Baseball and said, you rushed back. You put my father, you put my grandfather, you put my brother in harm's way just so you could rush back and have a few games?
Well,
you killed
sorry,
my
man.
Grandfather.
He signed off on it. Well, it doesn't matter. He wasn't of sound mind. Okay, but we're pissed. He didn't ask us. I do think that's an issue.
May doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. Yeah. May doesn't make any sense. But we start talking about July, we can have a different look at it right now, I would think. But in May, after what you're seeing still today, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, I'll start feeling better about end of June, mid-June, July. But right now, not so much in
May.
See,
are you guys surprised that Major League Baseball hasn't, like when we had Christian Yelich on, I mean, are you surprised that they haven't said anything to him? Like, no, I mean, there's no communication. There's no information. There's not even an update.
We talked about that before we talked to him. What can they say? Nobody knows anything, Christian. That's the problem. You can't sit there and call up your players or managers or teams and say, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. Nobody knows. Lou's right. We're looking at it right now on April the 7th. And unfortunately, the way the public feels right now, there's no way you can move forward on any of this stuff. I guess unless you're Dana White. It might change in May. It may be a lot different. We're pushing it forward because we are hoping, I think, and praying that by July, maybe we're all going to feel different about this. We're going to feel more confident right now that there aren't a lot of people dying. Are they still dying? Yes. But the numbers aren't that great, and we feel more comfortable about going out and getting back into society. And at that point, I think we're going to feel different about sports because we're already missing it. We sit here every day. What do we talk about? We talk about sports that aren't being played, and what are they going to do, and how are they going to play it? We're not talking about the games. We're not even talking about the practice.
Well, we're still not 100% sure either if like the Heat's going to kill it or not, right?
We have no idea. It
could.
It's a great unknown.
But I'm saying it could.
Ooh, the Phoenix might be a good place for
Phoenix, Florida,
play, right?
I'm just saying, like June, July, if it's 90-some degrees, you know, it could. We don't know. I'm not saying it will. It might not. I have no clue, but there's a lot of people that are, you know, professionals that know a lot more than I do that aren't sure either. So it could.
But the doctors are saying that they expect there's going to be a second bout with it late fall and into winter next year.
I can't wait for like November, December to do this all over
again. Because we don't have a vaccine for it yet. And we won't by that time. And so we got in the football season. Let's say football starts and then somebody tests positive the third week of November, something like that. What happens then?
Happy New Year. See you in spring.
But what can any of these leagues tell the players? I think Christian Yelich was telling us the truth. They don't know. Nobody knows.
It is the ultimate extreme, and everybody is fighting it because it cannot happen. Sports need to come back before a vaccine does.
Yes, I agree.
But it is the ultimate question, can it? And I think it can. I like to think it can. But like as you keep pointing out, you're sitting there, if there's another bout in November and one football player gets coronavirus, the NFL's done? And are we back to what we're doing again for another 2 or 3 months until we get a vaccine?
And I'm not trying to be callous or insensitive about this, but we may have to get to the point where people are going to get it, and if they do test positive, it doesn't become major panic where we shut everything down. Right now, we're shutting everything down because there's the great unknown. they still don't have a remedy for it.
Yeah,
it right?
goes back to what we said before. You know, how do we live with it? How do you live with it? Can you
right.
live with it?
Right.
And I think a lot of people will say, no, you can't. Other people will say there's different ways to do it. And I think that's what the leagues are trying to do right now. Because until there's a vaccine, they're trying to figure out a way to whatever, put teams in bubbles, leagues in bubbles. I'm not so sure it's doable. You know, I saw South Korea, you know, they're back. They're playing baseball games another week. You know, they're going to start like regular season in 2 or 3 weeks. However, they're playing with masks. And they said if any player gets it, they shut the season down for 2 weeks. They're going to postpone the next 2 weeks. Well, what happens if 3 or 4 days into that span, another player gets it? And then another player gets it, right? Like, how the hell do they expect to do anything here in the next couple of weeks? They're planning on playing in 2 weeks.
I hate to tell you, it sounds like a Stephen King novel or movie. That's the problem with this. You sit here and say, it's not possible, is it? And it's all possible. It's all happening. It's the great unknown. We don't know any of these things. But not only do sports have to get back, but everybody has to get back, don't they? I mean, we've talked an awful lot about this with the economy, and we got to get back to it. We can't go through a great depression. I mean, you're already seeing
we're in a great depression right
now.
Yeah,
well.
We're in our own version of a great depression.
Well, CEOs of the brokerage firms are telling us right now that you know, we may be looking at something worse than
we always talked about, sporting events and fans in the stands and you might get back. The economy might be open up before we allow 80,000 people in the stands, right? I mean, we could be, you know, working because how many places have 80,000 people, you know, in a building or 60,000 people in a building? Some, not all. But, no, it'd be interesting to see, as far as the economy goes and opening up places, are they doing that before fans are allowed to sit in 80,000, 60,000 people right next to each other?
Yeah, if you were a betting man right now, the first sporting event, that takes place.
Well, golf's coming back.
Golf.
Okay. Golf.
I never thought golf should have got rid of it in the first place.
Tennis.
Right.
NASCAR.
Okay.
What are we doing?
Okay, but.
Car. Go drive.
But major team sports right now, professional team sports, any one of the major leagues, do you believe there will be people in the stands for that first game or nobody?
Nobody.
I agree. I don't see. Because, again, great unknown. So you're going to experiment it. With it for a while. You're going to try playing the games without the fans, and then maybe we'll feel a little bit more confident because I think it's all about confidence. I think it's all testing. It's you know, we're testing this stuff out and seeing if it works.
You know, I saw the craziest thing the other day when I went to the store. I actually saw, I mean, a lot of people are wearing masks right now, obviously, and gloves. I saw a lady sitting in her car with a mask on, and what she would do is she would take a puff of her cigarette and put the mask back on.
Oh, God.
So as she was exhaling, the smoke was coming out as the sides of the mask. And I had to sit there and I looked at it as I drove by. I was like, this is insane. This is like,
did you want to go and talk and lecture
her? Car.
Yeah.
Once she's in her car, okay, there's nobody else there. Right. So why are you having the mask on? It's like she discovered this new device that could enhance her smoking.
I'm not wasting any smoke.
Yeah, she didn't want to waste it. She didn't want to go out the windows.
It's the greatest day ever.
It's amazing.
I don't know. Marijuana, would that work? Would that be a plus?
I saw another guy walk in a store with a big bag on his head like he was a fan of, you know, like a really crappy
the old New Orleans
team.
Saints. Remember
yeah,
the games?
Yeah, he had a bag with eyes and just, you know, a little tiny mouth like C-3PO. I mean, that's the route I think I'm going to go with tonight.
I've seen some people with the mask with little slogans on there, but they're all like heartfelt, you know, I love you. Or
how about the guy that actually went to the store in a scuba suit?
I didn't see that.
Come on, I didn't see the guy
in the scuba suit. He went to the scuba suit, had a tank on and everything, had his respirator, and he had his goggles on that his dive mask that he went on. He had the head cover and everything, like he was going scuba diving in the Antarctica.
I'll give you one. Did you see the story? And we talked about it a little bit when people were questioning Trump because he was coming out with the chloroquine and. A husband died and the wife got really sick because they were taking fish tank cleaner, which was similar to what chloroquine looks like when you see it, but they took it. It turns out now that woman has apparently had a history where she's assaulted her husband in the past. And now some people actually think that
foul play?
maybe like Carol, in the Tiger King that she might have been trying to do some harm to the husband. So yeah, that see, story is totally spun around.
Tiger King.
I love the best
new
thing
episode
about
of Tiger King coming out, really by the way.
I feel like the Tiger King has run out of steam.
One more episode coming out.
Not at
I feel
all.
Like it's done. I feel like I can't. It's like it's over. It's everybody's watched it now. So it's like they need the. Oh, he's going to play the song, isn't he?
No. It's never over, Christian.
It's going to play the song.
Never over till it's
the only
over.
Thing about this that I like, and I didn't mean. I thought he sung the song. I thought he was a singer, and he's actually lip singing.
And you found out it wasn't even him, so now you hate him.
Yeah, I saw Discovery is going to do a spinoff of the Tiger King that's going to investigate what happened to Don Lewis, who is Carol Baskin's first husband.
She killed him with,
allegedly.
Aquarium cleaning fluid.
She allegedly killed him with that.
Feed him to the lions.
How about the tigers, though, in the Bronx Zoo? They have the coronavirus. They tested positive.
Has that been confirmed, though? I don't know if that's been confirmed.
It's been confirmed. They talked about it last night in the news.
I told you about a story about a cat from Australia that got the coronavirus, right? So in felines, not dogs, right? Just kitty cats.
So what'd they get? How'd they get the tiger? How'd they get it? From the person feeding them?
Yes, the zookeeper or whatever got it.
Zookeeper has it?
And he passed it along, and they weren't sure it could be passed along. They said now that it can't be passed through dogs. So you can let your dog lick you during the next commercial break here, Lou, and it's okay. You don't have
to. They need to start investigating dogs to find out what type of enzymes they have so we can get it to humans.
And why do we as a society allow the Chinese to continue wet markets? Why?
With live animals
like bats and
We're not talking like domesticated. They're talking about these crazy hybrid animals that they breed. It's just insane. I saw a whole special on it. I just was so disgusted.
Oh, the wet markets are scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
No regulations, none whatsoever.
I kind of feel bad for cats.
Talking about messed up. Last call coming up. Roseanne gives her view of what's going on in the world. Roseanne.
Can't wait.
Coming up. We got more, though. Tracy glorious. Morgan's really good. Coming up next.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Faster than a virtual press conference. More powerful than all social media. Able to leap accusations in a single statement. Look, over there online. It's a tweet. It's a briefing. No, it's Optics Man. Optics Man, champion of those overly concerned with negative public perception.
Yeah, I'm not concerned. Last call being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Your number one charity for car donations. Help a child. Donate your car. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. So what's the latest with the coronavirus? President speaking just moments ago.
Talking about slowing the spread, stopping the spread. Even during this painful week, we see glimmers of very, very strong hope. And this will be a very painful week. And next week, at least part of next week, but probably all of it. Look, if one person dies, it's a painful week. And we know that's going to unfortunately happen. This is a monster we're fighting. But signs are that our strategy is totally working. Every American has a role to play in winning this war. And we're going to be winning it. We're going to be winning it powerfully.
Bigly.
And we'll be prepared for the next one should it happen, but hopefully it won't.
Didn't use the big league.
I know what he meant, though.
So then my guess is that he attacked the journalist right after that. That's the best part of the press briefings, buddy. Where are you from? You're from China.
That was good.
So are you personally working directly with China?
We just signed a trade deal.
So fighting with
the biggest deal probably ever made. And I hope they're going to honor that trade deal. If they don't honor the trade deal, then I'll tell you a different answer. But I think they will. So I'll let you know. I mean, I hope they're going to honor the deal. We'll find
with
out.
China? Are you cooperating with China?
I don't know. Who are you working for, China? You work for China, or are you with a newspaper? Who are you with?
Hong Kong Phoenix TV.
Who owns that, China?
It's
is it owned by China?
Hong Kong.
No, is it owned by the state?
No, it's not. It's a private owned company.
Okay, good.
Bad checking.
Phoenix News. Yeah, sure. China?
But he does that to all of them now. You notice? Who are you with? Who are you working with?
Okay, he knows
who they're working with. Come on. You know.
Who owns that, China?
Norm MacDonald is doing a podcast called the Quarantine Podcast. Somebody needs to get in there, an AV person, and help him out with the quality of it. But it really went downhill when Roseanne joined him as a guest on the phone, and she has her own conspiracy theory about what's really going on out there.
And does any part of you, be honest,
I'm homosexual, actually.
Somebody was saying, hey, you know, when people talk about the climate change, and they go, oh, we can't change our whole lifestyle. And then the Earth is like, yeah, here's a virus, you know, here's a little test. See how you do.
Well, you know, it's all connected in my head because I'm on the autism spectrum, so everything has to fit perfectly or else I go insane.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to put things together, but it's all interrelated. I think we're being forced to evolve. You know what it is, Norm? I think they're just trying to get rid of all my generation, the boomer ladies that, you know, inherited their, you know, our widows.
Oh.
They have the money, so they got to go wherever the money is and figure out a way to...
Because there's so many boomers that have money that and do no work. So if you got them out of society, yeah, that would be a good thriller. But this is not the rapture. I hope it's not the rapture.
Did she say, when I go insane, isn't she already insane? Haven't we already crossed that line?
Yes, I think
she's a generation off, too, by the way. I mean, if you're like 80, 90 years old, people are like, yeah, they're trying to kill us off with this thing.
Yeah.
What is she, mid-60s?
I would say something like that, yeah.
67?
Yeah.
I'm on the autism spectrum.
Spectre.
She's on the autism
spectrum.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's Roseanne. And Norm needs somebody to help him out with this podcast.
That's
don't
awful.
You think? I mean, you can't hear it.
But this is not the rapture. I hope it's not the rapture.
So apparently he walks around the room and he's, you know, talking into a phone, you know, speaker phone. And that is the podcast. And I like Norm MacDonald. He's funny. Funny guy. Talk about
climate
funny.
Climate change. And they go, oh, we can't change our whole lifestyle.
Talk about funny. Tracy Morgan is very funny.
Yes.
So he goes on the Today Show today with Hoda. And this is the Today Show now. Tracy Morgan on the Today Show. So normally the housewives, people who are at home. Now you've got not only the housewives, but you got the working people and you've got the kids at home, right? So he goes on there to talk about the activities that you need to do when you're staying at home during the pandemic.
For Tracy and his family.
Oh, well, me and my wife been quarantining here for like 3 weeks, so she's pregnant 3 times. Every week she got pregnant.
Okay. So, you know.
So we're role playing a lot now. We're role playing. She's playing a young maiden whose grandfather was infected with coronavirus. And I'm the scientist who discovered the cure. And she'll do anything to save her grandfather's life.
Okay.
And I mean anything.
Well, you are a creative one. All right.
That's a Today Show.
So is the Today Show. And he's role playing.
He's a funny bastard, though.
They didn't expect that.
Funny.
She didn't know how to deal with that.
Me and my wife been quarantining here for like 3 weeks, so she's pregnant 3 times. Every week she got pregnant.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
She did not handle it.
That was good.
She did not handle it. Mutt's in the house. Hey, Mutt. In his house.
Some of the old, those old Big Show Unfiltered sounded a lot like Norm MacDonald's podcast.
Yes, it did. A little bit.
Yeah, there's so many boomers that have money.
How can you understand what he's saying on that show?
I couldn't listen to it. He's got to up the quality of that.
Yes.
Get Doug Lane out there. Get him one of these access boxes. He'll sound a lot better. So Roseanne can say stupid things and it'll sound a lot better for him. Meanwhile, you guys played it yesterday. Joe Castiglione is going crazy. He will join us tonight as part of the Red Sox Classics broadcast.
Oh, good.
Red Sox and Astros ALCS. He's in Fort Myers doing play-by-play of dinner being made. He is going out of his mind. He misses baseball. He will join us at 7. We'll talk a lot of baseball in this hour coming up because the plan baseball has heard Kristen Yelich with you guys. I've heard Chris Sale today talk about this. It seems like people think that it's a dumb idea, and I think all these ideas are going to sound dumb, but they are reality. If we're going to get sports back, it's not going to look sweet and simple and safe. And so we'll get into that this
hour. Just put them in a playground.
Okay, we're glad to have Mutt back with us.
Put them in a playground or whatever. As long as you can bet on the games, who cares what the other stuff, right,
Mutt? That's the smartest thing you've ever said. Absolutely.
Exactly. By the way, get that recipe for Joe's red sauce for all of us. We need it.
What color is the red sauce,
the eggplant rollatini.
That's what I want. Did such a wonderful job.
What's coming up next? Lou's already got a Corona Light. Look at this. This is unbelievable.
Not
look
true.
At this.
He, I don't know what he's talking about.
Don't
what
talking about right Why do you there. Keep saying that stuff?
We're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. See you, boys. Goodbye.
It's a tweet. It's a briefing. No, it's Optics Man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.